answer, when you want him to answer, how you want him to answer. Can we get real in the house? But when he show you his greatness, man, I don't know about you, but there's a humbleness. There's a smallness come over you. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? It's no more about what I'm asking or what I want. It's like, wow. Let me tell you something. Part of our problem, we're so busy with our own concerns, believers, I'm not talking about unbelievers, with our own concerns, we forget about our God. We forget about his greatness. And many times he will remind us. And I'm going to tell you something. When he's reminding us of who he is, he's also telling us, I got your back. Amen. I got you. You think as great as I am, something that about you is escaping me? Do you know who I am? And everything you are, I made you. I place you in the family you are in. I call out your DNA. I knew what you were going to do before you did it. Every now and then, if I had to remind you, open up the book. See, we can learn, we can grow from the word of God, because God says, my word is already in print. My love letter, my facts of who I am, don't let somebody else tell you who God is. Pick up the book and read. And God will show you who he is. Well, God, you hit me like that. I won't look for that. I was looking for that breakthrough. God said, let me tell you something. You looking for a breakthrough. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you broke through. Amen. Amen. When you became my child, when you became born again, you became a brand new creature. Now, what part of you trying to get the breakthrough for? The old you, you're not the same anymore. You're a new creature. That old you got the breakthrough in Jesus. You broke through big time and you don't even know it. You are an heir, a joint heir with Jesus the Christ. Hey, that's real. You're in the Father's hand, whether you're sick or well, you are in his hands. No power. No ability is able to get you out. What breakthrough are you talking about? That's security. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Hey, being that he is my provider, why should I have a need? Why should I want anything? Because he has it all. See, sometimes it's how we think produce agony. Because our thinking need to be regulated. I'm talking to believers. I'm not talking to unbelievers in here. God is something else, y'all. So I'm just gonna now I'm not trying to exhaust anything here. Okay. So you do your own in-depth study, okay? But preaching, like I always say, is that shot, you know. Your personal study is your regimen of medicine that you take on a daily basis. Am I right about it, Brother Casey? All right. So see, I want to put some things together so you'll know why we are here. But I tell you what, if you ain't getting nothing, this is good, ain't it? Y'all ain't fooling, Pastor. I ain't just started doing this yesterday. And so, you know, sometimes, I don't know whether sometimes I try to trick God or what. You remember when I said I can talk about me? I ain't talking about y'all. And what I mean by that? See, there's a lot of ways, folk, you can trick people, but you never can trick God. But you can also trick people and have them agreeing with you about what you should do or not do for God. And they say, yeah, that sounds about right. No, it sounds about right because how you think. But that's not right a lot of times. And I think I do sometimes. I try to, as if God don't know it all. Yeah, Lord, I think this. And he'll give you that ego. I'm going to just leave that alone. I'm just going to leave that alone. Okay, let's get to our message. And I've gave you half the message, so keep me on the clock. I got, 15 minutes? Y'all let me know when my 15 minutes is up. Our message today is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. And that's a great book. I believe Aquila and Priscilla was left there, the Ephesus, and won a lot of those folk to the Christ. God really used that couple, and Timothy pastored the church for a while, and I believe Paul was there for a while. But I want to look at chapter 1 and just point out some things. And part of that chapter 1, part of those verses, in the Greek, it said it's just one verse. But I want to look at 15 through 23 and point out a few things and end this. And like I said, this whole book is a great book, you know, that we can see here. I'm just going to read down till I get back here. But that's not what I'm going to expound on. I'm going to go right back to 15, but I'm going to start right at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. You see saints? The sanctified ones. So don't tell nobody don't be telling people I'm born again, but I'm not a saint. You are. You are. You are a saint. If you're born again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Whew. Just as he chose us in him, look at this, before the foundation of the world, that we, you know, just hit me, you know, we just looked at Job, and he said, where were you? And here, Paul is saying, he had chose us before he laid the foundation of the world. Isn't that something? Oh, y'all had already got there ahead of me. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Well, I don't see why I got to live no holy life. If you are a saint, you are sanctified, and God chose you to live holy. Holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Wow. It was just your will and your pleasure to save me, God? Yeah, it ain't got nothing to do with you. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Man, when we got in Jesus, God made us, he created us to be accepted in the beloved. in him we have redemption. Oh, my God. Look at here. Look at here. Look at here. We have redemption in him. And we are being redeemed as we grow in the things of God. And we will be redeemed at the rapture and the resurrection and all of this. God got all this stuff in the glorification time. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Wow, wow, wow. God, we sin. We do a lot of sinning. We've done a lot of sinning. But thank you that it's under the blood, that we've been forgiven for our sins because it has been paid for under the blood. You are free to justify us because you paid for us. You are free to justify us because it was you who paid the price for our sin. No one can say, how can you be a holy God and justify these sinners? Because I'm the same God that was the propitiation, the substitute, the payment for their sins. And when I did it, I paid it in full, according to the riches of his grace. And it was all because of my grace. I'm glad God got rich grace. You know, we got grace, but don't keep pushing it. Okay, I'm telling the truth. Like my wife said, I'm not telling no story. I'm not telling a story. You keep pushing some of these folk in here. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. But I ain't God. Okay. Push you too. It go for all of us. You push that wrong button. Hey, you saved, brother. You saved, sister. I don't care who they are. Oh, my God. What you say? Yeah, I'm saying. Lower your voice a little bit. Thank you. Woo! I don't want to be up here doing a lot of wrong stuff. Y'all. I mean, y'all got to help me. Because, see, I go back and tell God, so God, they don't want to hear me preach no more. God, they, you got some great guys out here. Remember I tell you how I play with God? So I'm not playing with them, but I guess I try to trick. And it's just like, you know, sometimes your mother or some of the kid want to try to get out of something. And they listen, hear him out. And then they tell you, go. I ain't gonna say how they would say it. But you go ahead on and do what you're supposed to do. You still got to do it. You still got to do your homework. And you're still going to school. I don't like that school. They this and that. Yeah. Okay, we're going to tell you how to work with that. We're going to tell you how to put that in get your imaginary garbage can, let it hit, because it ain't nothing but garbage. But you're still going to school. And you see, we don't want nothing to get you so upset that you won't get your education. We're not going to allow that. Okay, because that's what the enemy want to do. So we're going to work with you. We're going to protect you. We're going to do all that we need to do, but it's not going to be an excuse for you to fail. Okay, I'm just reading, right? Okay, what verse did I stop on? Because I haven't got to where I want to go, because I'm going to be a little bit fast when I get back where I want to go, huh? 7? Okay, I'm just reading. Oh, yeah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to my counsel. Huh? According to Steve Barnes' counsel. Huh? According to Dr. Rick's counsel. Huh? To the counsel of his will. That we who first trusted in Christ, that's when I got my breakthrough, when I first trusted. You talking about you ain't never had a breakthrough. If you are saved and you are saying, I never had a breakthrough, that is wrong. You cannot be genuinely born again and not have a breakthrough. Because there's your breakthrough right here. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You heard of the gospel. The gospel came to you, and you heard it. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Look at this. Oh, I got an insignia on me. I got a stamp on me. With the Holy Spirit. Oh, my seal is the Holy Ghost. So if I'm not sealed with the Holy Ghost, I trusted in vain because I'm not born again. I'm not made a new creature if I'm not sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, who is the guarantee. My salvation is guaranteed. How do I know? I got the guarantor called the Holy Ghost. Huh? I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the guarantee, brother. Huh? I'm guaranteed. I guarantee I'm saved. See, if we don't move to thinking biblical and say, I don't want to be so proud talking about I'm guaranteed. The words say I'm guaranteed. I'm guaranteed, Danny. The words say I'm guaranteed. Let me tell you something. God wrote this love letter that we would read it and believe it. See, when a loved one love you and they got some pertinent information to get to you, and y'all don't write letters now, what y'all do? Text. Huh? But they have loaded that letter with things they want you to know. Huh? And you got those little emojis, what y'all call them? Did I pronounce it right? Huh? So sometimes you can work them without a word. I'm trying. My granddaughter told me, told her daddy, yeah, daddy, granddaddy using them emojis. Then I go throw another one in there now. Cause she's up in college, so I'm trying to communicate with her. And you know, and she say, granddaddy, why you wow, she just go off, and then she started doing some other things. I don't know what I put. Me put the wrong one in there. I put the thumb up or whatever. I'm trying, y'all. And don't laugh at me if you won't teach me. If you won't set me down and say, Pastor, I'm going to help you. You help us with the word of God. I'm going to help you with this. I help you a little bit. Young folk can do all that stuff backwards in all kind of ways. And then you laugh at me. I'm trying. It's okay to say he's not even trying. Now, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. And she said, hey, granddaddy, you ain't got to do this. You ain't got to do this. I said, let me tell you something. I do it because I love you. I said, I love you. And not only do I love you, I love being a grandpa. I mean, I know some people don't understand that. It's never like, Rick's, but see, I've been all my life working. Everywhere I've been, people have been saying, Rick's, you different. Rick's, you look. I mean, I ain't never seen nobody like you. You get mad and do better work. But I'm saying I don't want to be like nobody else. I just want to be who God made me to be. And you know, and what I found out a lot of times, because people are not used to a greater love, they think something behind it they don't think is real, because you've gotten used to not being loved. So many children have gotten used to not being loved or loved to a certain degree, then it stopped. Then if there's anything above that on a constant basis, it can't be real, or they don't even, they ignore it. Because we're in a world that don't love like that. But I'm telling you something. Because what I'm reading about Jesus, we can have another standard. We can love to a higher degree. Because God, Christ say, mimic him. I'm trying to move to another degree because I'm not following or imitating you. I'm imitating he that is love. God is love. Are you following me? Don't get used to half-baked love. Everything ain't phony. But know how to discern between the two. You know, a lot of times, if you didn't have some things, okay. But don't you grieve. Don't you get angry. Don't you say, well, I'm not getting mad, I'm going to get even. No, when the ball in your hand, you run a touchdown. You know, because a lot of times say, if I was in that spot, I would have done this, I would have done this. Watch saying that, because God will put you in that spot and see what you're going to do. Oh, yeah. Now, ain't no need me dying and my granddaughters don't know I love them. No, I'm not going to do that. Because I probably got less time than they do. No. You may not pay no attention to it, but you will miss it when it's gone. But see, I know you do pay attention to it, because if your back get against the wall and you give me a call, you know I'm coming. Dead at work or something out of here. I'm coming. I'm on the road now, me and Sister Ricks. I'm coming. Don't tell me not to come. Who is it? Mine? I got it. Yeah, no. I'm going to call you right back, because it take you a long time to get away from Great Bridge to get there. I'm closer. Matter of fact, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm up here at what we got up here? Avondale, Eden Place. Which one is it, Ronnie? Now, I'm on this end now by the credit union. Now I go, Ricks, move on. Golden Corral, not the Golden Corral. I don't go there no more. Cracker Barrel. See, Cracker Barrel is right in the Suffolk area. You know, I could, me and my wife will go there and get a meal or something like that. But you don't know who you're going to need in this life. Things happen so fast. And you don't know which one is going to happen to. You don't know who's going to die first. Sometimes all the children die out. We want to go before our children, right, parents? Let me leave that alone. Come on, stop meddling, Ricks. Okay, so your time is gone. Did I get you to 13? Did I finish? Okay, all right. I tell you what. I'm going to read 13 and come right on in. And 14. Who is the guarantee? That's why I did get there. Okay, let's go. What I really want to talk about now, I'll just talk about this a little bit. As Paul moved down and he hit 15, he said, okay, therefore, all that I have told you about from 1 right on down that you have, and what Christ have done for you and what God have done and all these things that have taken place. But here's the thing. This is one of Paul's prison epistles. When he wrote this, he was in prison. He had his own struggles. He was in his own storm. A lot of times when we see and read about these great apostles and the work that they do, how they were sold out with the Lord, we forget that about their storms and martyrdom and all the pressure that they were under. Some kind of way we think they're supermen. And so we don't look at it. But you got to look at, but what's happening, these guys, Paul had the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was looking at things and holding fast to those other things he had in Christ. He knew Christ wanted him to be used here on earth. That's why he could tell the folk, he says, I'm in a twitch here between staying and going, but it's a need for that I stay for you. But you know, if I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. So he realized there was something waiting on him after death. There was something other than down here. But he understand the particulars of being here and being a servant, being used of God. So I can't just jump away, get out of this lane when God want me to park here for a while, a moment that I can help somebody, that I can be a servant of the Lord. And that's what Paul was. He served the Lord. And what we see here, even though you can be in your own storm or your own struggles, he was in prison, and that wasn't an easy thing, but yet you can let your mind think on somebody else. And a lot of time, believe it or not, when you're going through your own struggles and you allow your mind to escape for a minute and think about somebody else that bring gladness to your heart and that you can start praying for them. You see, in our storms, I like to give an illustration that in the storms, there are two rooms. There's a room of prayer in your storm, and that other room is a room of anxiety or worry. You follow what I'm saying? Now I'm in the storm, but a lot of times in my storm, I won't go in the prayer room. In my storm, I'm in my storm, Brother Sister Sheila, and I go in the anxiety room. All right, now you got to see this. We're in the struggles. We're in a situation, however you want to call it. But in this situation, I get into the room in my situation called the worry room or the anxiety room, and I don't get into the prayer room. And watch this. And this is what I want to bring out here. Not just in the prayer room for me, that my storm will quiet down. Oh, I see the lightning. I heard the thunder. And I feel the rain on me. But I need to know in this storm, there's a room for prayer. There's a room for worry. And I got to choose. When I know Jesus, when I know my Lord and all he have done from verse 1 right on down to where I'm at now. When I know that I know from verse 1 right on down to 14, all I got in him, it should make me want to go in the prayer room. And sometimes God is trying to get you in your worries, in your storm, to your prayer room, in your storm, not out of the storm, not delivered out of it, while you're in there praying. Paul was in prison. He went out of prison. And he thought about Ephesus. He thought about those folks. Wait a minute. If you're in a struggle, I don't care if you're saved. All you should think about is your situation. Oh, no. If you do that, you may move into your room of anxiety. Your room of worry in your storm. Now, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, I'm in a storm. And it looked like the forecast is going to go on all week long. But when I'm talking to God, I'm in my prayer room, in my storm. I'm making my request known. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You see, fret and worry indicates a lack of trust in God. Let's tell it what it is. Let's cut through the chase, Christians. Rich, cut through it for yourself, Rich. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. In your storms, there's the prayer room and there's the anxiety room. Oh, I just thought the storm itself. No, Paul was in the storm. He was in the struggle, but he was in the prayer room. You see, and he was thinking of others. Wow, is there an antidote here for me? Is there some medicine? Is there some relief for me? Rick, get in there and for a moment take your mind off yourself. And pray for others. Look around you and see what somebody else going through. See, and not only see what they're going through, sometimes you can see how they're being blessed or the blessings they have. And you can pray for more. Wait. No. See, you got to see, he's telling the Ephesians all the blessings that they have. And also, okay, we're going to look at Paul's preparation for prayer. I want to just read through it first, then I'll come back so I can move. Okay, he said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now I want to show you something. Paul says, you know what? Now I was prepared to pray because I had heard something about you. See, sometimes God will let you hear something about the saints or somebody in trouble or somebody even doing good, or they may need some whatever they may need, and you heard about it. God say you can do something about it in prayer. You say you can go in your prayer room and pray for that individual. Now watch this. He said, now I saw that you had your vertical relationship right with God. I saw how you love God. But I also, not only that, I saw how you love the saint. See, I'm gonna tell you something. Sometimes there are people who love the saints. They want to encourage the saints over and over again. They're sold out with that, and you act like you don't see it. He said, I see your horizontal relationship and I see your vertical one. All that is in 15. Do that turn us on when we see it? I see your dedication. Man, I've been tracking you for years. Huh? I was watching you when you didn't know I was watching you. All right? And you know what? Now that I understand, like Paul, I'm going to pray for you. I see your relationship with the Lord. Not only that, I watch how you handle difficult people. You seem to get along with difficult people. People I wouldn't give 2 minutes of my time to. And you give all day to them. I've been watching that though. See, if we don't watch as well as pray, you don't even really know what to pray for. We need to begin to see some things so we can pray particular things for that we notice. Paul says, I've heard something about you, Ephesians. I heard about your faith. He said, but you know what? So a lot of times when you know something going on, you heard about it going on, it'll pinpoint your prayer for you. It'll outline it right for you, for that person. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord. My son, Leroy Jr., he in here now and talk about it. Sent me a text with a song on it. You know, he's a singer in the family. And he liked those gospel songs, those quartets. And he sent me one, what is it? Been in the storm too long. I looked at that. When I just saw the title of it, he said, Daddy, play this on YouTube. And I said, what is my son? Now, see how my mind think. What is my son saying about his daddy? I'm in there. I know it's for encouragement. It was for encouragement. And I heard it was good. But just where my mind first went. And I know he sent it to encourage me. Listen to this song. It's going to encourage you, Daddy, because you are in a struggle. You are in a storm. Okay? And I did. And it did. It really did. It encouraged my heart. The song and everything like that. And it helped me, like I was saying, in our storms, in our struggles. He's in prison. But in that struggle, always remember there's a prayer room and there's anxiety room. And see, many times, Sister Boone, we go in the anxiety room if we tell the truth about it. And a lot of that, hey, tell me your situation. Well, you just don't know, Pastor. And then, okay, I got you. I got you, little sis. I got you. Let's listen. Let's listen. Okay, wow. That is a storm. See, I'm not going to tell you it's not a storm. I'm not going to tell you it's not prison. I'm not going to tell you it's not a struggle. Forget those people. No, it is. But let them know, even in that struggle, you can pray. And that prayer is an outlet. It's a breath of fresh air. It's like opening up a window with a nice breeze coming in when it's stuffy in the house. See, sometimes you can be in that struggle so long it gets stuffy. Huh? And you don't know you got a window. You got a room to get in. And then sometimes you can see that in other people, that they go in their prayer room. They're still hurting, still in a struggle. And then some people may come and say, well, how you doing? Or how you, I'd be worried to death. It's that. I would too if I didn't know it was two rooms in my storm. And they were there for shelter. Where are you getting it from? Paul in prison. That's his struggle. That's his storm. But he thought about the Ephesians. He said, let me continue to lavish on you the things that you have. And not only that, so he was just letting them know. When Paul began his prayer for the congregation at Ephesus, he mentioned that other disciples had reported the Ephesians' faith and their love to him. This gave him a starting point for his prayer. Life will surely throw unpleasant circumstances at us, but we must resolve to pray for others, even during our own storm. Change that around a little bit. Pray for others. And it's strange, man, when I know that's for a fact, because when I'm thinking about other people, I take my mind off of me. You know, how this one doing? What's going on with this? And then sometimes you feel out of the loop so much. But so when you get when Steve sent me the pictures, let me know what's going on and different things, we make comment, it's like a fresh air coming in. You know, that's what praise the Lord. See, there's a lot going on all around us. And while we're here as Christians and mature Christians and growing, use who you are in Christ. Use it to bless somebody. Sometimes you and I got to say to ourselves, who am I blessing? I got all of this knowledge. I got all of this and all of that. Who are you blessing? Do you just walk around somebody and just touch them? And your touch not saying anything, just a blessing. Let me move on. I'm going to get through this now because I'm holding y'all up too long. But I got caught up in this. 16 through 19. You say, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He said, now this is what I'm praying for you when I mention you guys in my prayer, what I've heard about you, what I know you're doing, and it has blessed my heart, even in my storm and my struggle in prison, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, the revelation in the knowledge of him. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowledge in Christ, in the Word of God. That's all I'm talking about. All I'm preaching, been doing for years. Yeah, you got that other knowledge. Man, you're a superstar in them other places. But in this, Paul says, I want you, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. He's above it. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Ain't all about this age, like I was saying in the onset. He's but even in the one to come. I got Jesus in this age, and I got him in the one to come. I'm covered. Amen. He said, but I want to tell you about it. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. We the body, he's the head, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. In all. Paul was prepared to pray. The next part of this, Paul's purpose for prayer. These passages beautifully outline the purpose in Paul's prayer. His purpose was thanksgiving. He wanted to let them know that he realized what the church was doing and the saints was doing, and he was thankful. You know, sometimes we got to be thankful for what other folk are doing. You ain't always going to be thankful what you're doing. I mean, I talk about you guys to God all the time, all the time. And I say, Lord, man, we ain't no perfect people, starting with me. And I'm not perfect. So, Pastor Ricks ain't perfect. Yes, I tell you, no, not. You go find that person. By the way, you ain't neither. But here's the thing. Man, I see the wonderful things you guys do, and I see how you know, like I say, when Steve sent me the pictures and seeing the ladies and the men in the fellowship hall putting together those plastic, mats for the homeless to lay on. Yeah, when I saw your guys coming out, taking the time, learning the patterns, learning how to do that for others, I'm only looking at pictures on my phone. And I'm saying, wow. Great job. And I didn't know Curtis was helping because I say, look at the women and what they're doing. And then Steve texted me back and say, Curtis was in there cutting up something too. I say, amen. You know, but I rejoice. But I'm going to tell you something. I didn't know y'all were doing that then. Had not he thought enough to show me. See, show me so I can rejoice with you. See, when those folk told Paul how the church at Ephesus was doing, how their vertical relationship with God was on tack, and how their horizontal with the brethren and sistering was on tack, he rejoiced. You see, we need to hear some things. If I can't be there, let me hear it. I can rejoice. Also, it may be one of them times in my storm, I'm in the wrong room, Ronnie. Oh, yeah. No, the day you called, I was in the room.